Good to have you all here today as we come now off of a revival week, and just wanted to pass on message from Dave Jones, how much he enjoyed being here and sharing with the congregation here, and I think received the greater blessing from him being with us, but just wanted to pass that on. As well, from what I've been told, they had a great time at the youth advance yesterday or Friday and Saturday, and so we're all thankful for that as well. There was a few of us also that got to go to the CRA, the Christian Restoration Association conference that they had down in Mason, Ohio on Thursday and Friday, and we had a great time there. Just wanted to pass on many of the ones. We got to see Creighton Beatty was one of them that had traveled some distance to get there. And then Jason Cole spoke, Kendall Fall spoke. They did really good jobs. All the messages were really good. It was a good time of sharing. And we're going to make Brandon, he goes to more and more things with us, and we're going to make him regret it more and more often, I think. Especially Tom Roth, right? So we're glad of that. But the best thing that happened last week, as far as I'm concerned, is we had three young ladies that began their walk with the Lord. Olivia Miller, if you want to come up here, Mackenzie Gustin, and Carly Livingston, if you guys want to come up here, we'll get you your... There is yours. Congratulations. Oops, still messed them up. Congratulations and congratulations. So, what a wonderful thing. So we are grateful for that. I will say this as we get ready to get going. Something I thought was pretty neat to happen at the Bible conference the other day. Of course, Tony Sullivan was another one that was there. So I'm eating breakfast there at the table, and Tony comes and sits down next to us. And another gentleman from Missouri, which some of you may know, I didn't know him until this week, named by the name of Jamie Frankie. He's one of the trustees with CRA. But anyway, so we're sitting there for breakfast. Brandon's across from me. Dylan's across from us. Tony comes and sits down, starts talking about you all, the congregation here, and how much he appreciated his time here, which he did remind us on Thursday night at the banquet. He was the guest speaker for the banquet that he says he's 75 years old, and if you ever want to have him in for a revival again, you ain't got a lot of time. So we've had Tony in a couple times has shared with us. But he sat down and he looked at Jamie and he says, you know Dave here? And Jamie had actually sat with us at the banquet that night, him and his friend from Missouri that was there with him. And this is paying a compliment to the congregation and praise Jesus for it. But he said, you know Dave? Yeah. He goes, we met. He says, if he calls you up and asks you to come do a revival, you drop everything you're doing and you go do the revival at Harlan. And Jamie was just like, what? Wow, that's, you know. So what Tony's doing is paying honor to the congregation here at Harlan and how good of people you all are. And yes, we know we all have our faults. We're around each other all the time. We see that, and we know that. But at the same time, it is nice to know that as others look upon the congregation at Harlan, that as we've been going through the book of Revelation and chapters 2 and 3 had finished those up, that there were good things to be said about us. All right, we're almost ready to start the lesson this morning. So, when Dave started this past week and he talked about come and see, And so many of his messages were out of the book of John. Every night I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And then finally on Wednesday night, he started to speak and I was like, okay, one more. And he spoke, he started to speak and went to the text and I was like, oh good. Because guess where we're speaking out of this morning? Yes, Ezra. No, we're speaking out of the book of John. And it's going to be, it's not necessarily the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's got to be pretty close. And I want for us to consider this on the basis, and maybe this is like for those three young gals that became Christians, this is a hopefully a pep rally message for you on how we need to live our life. But John chapter 3, verse 30 says this, very simply, he must increase, but I must decrease. One of the translations that I had looked at this week that I really liked the breakdown of this passage of Scripture was Jesus must become more important and I must become less important. Amen? And as we look at that, and young ladies that began their walk this past week, you'll see that as you go on in your Christian life, that what I want, what I desire, what my focus is, needs to become less in my life, and what the Lord wants for my life needs to be greater, needs to be more important. There's going to be times, as there is in all of our lives, where should we do this or do that? Well, which one brings more glory and honor to Jesus? And that's what we need to look at and to focus on. There are five things this morning, and I know you're thinking, oh my goodness, he normally does three, and he takes it. They're real short, they're real small. 5 points this morning that I want for us to consider as we look at this passage of Scripture and notice the importance here of, this is on the heels of John the Baptist, been baptizing a lot of people, and then all of a sudden, Jesus and his disciples start baptizing people, and then John's disciples and Jesus' disciples are like, oh my goodness, over there they're baptizing, and over here they're baptizing. What's going on, John? And John says, you know, that all this power that and authority that's given is only given because God has allowed it. And John says, so then what I must do is I must decrease. I must become less important and Jesus be more important. If you forget anything else today, remember, we must become less important and Jesus must become more important. We must decrease so that he may increase. All right, let's go ahead and get going. The first thing I want for us to consider and remember today is, as we look at, is we're just going to skip that one. Just there you go. Understand who Christ is. Understand who Christ is. We think we got a pretty good grasp on that, don't we? Who Jesus is, right? We ask, I mean, these little girls the other night, who do you believe that Jesus is, right? You know, and they made their confession the Heavenly Father and my Savior. And so as we look at this, as we think of these things, to try to understand who Christ is. There are hundreds of names in the Bible that describe Jesus. Scholars, men and women, maybe preachers, teachers, different people, far smarter than I am, have done their best to try to lay hold and give all the names of Jesus that we find in the Bible and how that can help us to understand better who he is. I once remember hearing a concert, Mark Schultz said that he had had a poster in his office, and it had over 100 names of Christ on it. And he said, you know, why does Christ have so many different names? And I think that's because, as he shared, and I think he was accurate, said, I think that's because as we go through life, we need Christ to be different things to us at different times. But let's just consider one word for a moment. Let's just consider the word Lord, okay? And as we were singing this morning, again, band, Josh nailed all the songs. I'm just like, again, here's what I'm thinking. I'm just throwing this out here. I think for everybody to enjoy this a whole lot more is maybe we start doing the sermons first, having a song service, and then finishing out with the Lord's Supper. And then that way the whole service culminates on bringing the focus to Jesus. I'm just throwing that out there because I think you would appreciate the song service a whole lot more if you knew what we were going to be talking about and sharing about and how those things just were so great. Sharing how much we need to step back and so that Christ can be edified. We shared that in the songs. And again, I just want to stand up and be like, pay attention to that verse. Right there. Pay attention. But anyway, so I appreciate that. But to understand who he is, Lord, for example, means to be chief, to be ruler, to be all-powerful. So as we look at that and we see this name given to Jesus, Lord, which, by the way, mentioned 3,322 times throughout just in the New Testament that Jesus is Lord. And yet, all the power and majesty and might that is given to him and that comes with that name, Lord, our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we see that, does not mean a thing unless you make him Lord of your life. Right? To call him Lord, he even answered, so many will call me Lord, Lord, but you and I individually have to call him Lord of our life. Understand that we have given all authority, all power. When we see that word Lord in the Bible and it's given a command or asking us a question, our response to him as Lord can only be one thing. Yes. The Lord says, will you do this? He's the Lord. He's the master. He's the one with all authority and all power. Who are you? Who am I to look at him in through scriptures or in our life and say, will you do this? And we'd be like, nah. No, we're not going to do that. Can we really? Is that our thoughts to tell him no? So each one of us have to make him Lord in our life. In other words, to take it and narrow it down to understanding who Jesus is, I must become less so that he can become more. I must be less important so that he'll be more important. I must decrease so that he can increase. And so what we do is we don't go around talking about me, 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 me. But look what Jesus has done. Look what the one with all authority and all power has done. He is Lord. Everyone wants a Savior. Everyone wants to be saved. And he'll be that for you. But only you can make him your Lord. So that what he does is, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first part of verse 5, or chapter 4, first part of verse 5, we do not preach ourselves. Why was Dave's messages so powerful this past week? Not because he was preaching about himself, but he was preaching about Jesus and making him Lord. And come and see. Come and see who? Him? Dave? No. The Church of Harlan? No. Come and see Jesus. For he'll tell you everything that you've done. Come and see. He'll change your life. Come and see. Do we understand Jesus? If we are going to decrease and he is going to increase, we have to have some understanding of what Jesus is. As we continue on through this idea here, then what we need to do is we must forgive as we have been forgiven. Has anyone here ever been forgiven? Right? Amen. For a Christian, there we are. But let's even just been forgiven by somebody else. Okay? Have you ever been forgiven? Something you did that was maybe terrible. Something you did that wasn't so bad, but nevertheless, you needed forgiven. So if we think about it, and we want to be forgiven as what we need to, when we think about it, is that we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. Have you been forgiven of some pretty small, insignificant things that you've done wrong? Yeah. Have you been forgiven of any great sin in your life? Yeah. And the Lord doesn't line them up and say, well, this one was small, we'll forgive that one. We're going to wait a while because you really blew it here. And so I know you've asked for forgiveness, right? But what used to be the word? Trust and verify, right? I'm thankful the Lord says, what sin? Now, we as people sometimes have to do that, the trust and the verify, because we're not God, right? But aren't we thankful that when God looks at us, he's just forgiven us? And so that we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. How many here have been forgiven hugely, greatly? Right? Yeah. As one radio commentator says, we've been given or been treated better than we deserve. It's called grace. We're thankful for that. And so as we look at this, we must be forgiven. We must forgive as we've forgiven. We're not going to get into the whole thing of well, unless you forgive, you know, you'll be forgiven. You know that. You understand that. You're smart enough to figure that out. But let's just stop and consider just for a moment that if what your world would be like if you forgive everybody the same way God has forgiven you. Would your world change if we're more like Jesus? I think it would. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God has forgiven us for whose sake? Said for Jesus' sake, he's forgiven us. Because when he looks down at us, since we've put on Christ, he doesn't see Brandon, he doesn't see Gary, he doesn't see Dave, he sees Jesus. Amen. So if Jesus is going to increase and I'm going to decrease, we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. Not only that, we need to love as we've been loved. Love as we have been loved. How much did God love you? Anybody know John 3:16? Right? There you go, right? Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Woo! It's worth something getting excited over. For us to love as we are loved. And the world has done a terrible thing at trying to display what the word love is. But you look to God's word for what love is, then we find out. I believe it's in Romans chapter 5, where we're told that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet helpless, while we were yet lost in our sins, not when we were at the top of our game, living the best life that we could possibly live for Jesus, but when we are at the bottom, he is, as our song said this morning, the God of the mountain and the God in the valley. And so when things are going good, guess who's God? When things are bad in our life, guess who's God? And aren't we thankful that he loves us unconditionally? Now, there's some blessings that he gives to us that are conditional, but his love is unconditional. There is nothing that you can do. Right? Adam, there is nothing you can do this week that'll make God love you more. Nothing. George, there is nothing you can do this week that'll make God love you less. We're loved. So do we love as we have been loved? Jesus says this to his disciples, and I think it's a carryover to us. John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Right? We've got the great commandment, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus, again, raises the bar and says, I just tell you, love them as I love you. Don't love them back as they love you, because then that bar will drop real quick. But love them how I love you. Then we're also told in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God. Right? We need a role model. We need someone to follow. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Illustration for you. I think living in the great county of Allen in Indiana, especially near Highway 37, everyone can relate. So I'm driving down the road at 55 miles an hour, right? Yeah, Dylan looks at me and goes, yeah, right, you never drive that fast. Anyway, so I'm driving down the road at 55 miles an hour. Double yellow line, traffic coming from the other side anyway. And I pull up on our friendly neighborhood Amishman. Right? In his buggy, going, well, slow. Right? Are my thoughts at that time for him how much I love him? Especially, right? I'd pick Dave up this week. I just went through Mike's car wash. We're headed back out this way, behind a horse and buggy, and it decides it's going to have an exhaust problem. Okay? All over the road. I try to get to one side or the other. He's like, dude, I heard it all up the side of my door. I'm just like, great. So my love for them at that moment is not the best. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready, just as I'm almost at my height of anger, they turn off to the road, to the side, and I'm like, whew, good. It just saved us from me saying something everyone will regret, right? But because we're in Christ, that Ephesians passage said that our actions and the things we do should go up to Him as a sweet-smelling aroma. I'm just letting you know that at that moment, everything I was sending upward stunk to high heaven. And it wasn't the exhaust from the horse. It was my attitude. It was a problem that I had with fellow man. Failing to realize Jesus died for that guy. And I'm going to let a little horse poo get in the way? I'm glad I'm the only one. There's going to be so many of you that come up to me afterwards and say, I just didn't get that illustration. Right? Are we loved? Yes. So do we love the way that we've been loved? Fourthly, then, we need to be students of the Word. We need to be students of the Word. Who hasn't heard 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but accurately handling the word of truth. Right? We're people of the book. We know His word. Do we? Can we do better? Right? You realize that it's through God's word that He talks to us. So what's God told you this week? So what message has God shared with you? So what message has Jesus Christ laid on your heart this week? Well, I feel, or you know, I was thinking. No! You know how you get the message from God? Through His word. And if we don't get into the Bible, then I'm just letting you know, God's not talking to you. But I've been a Christian for so many years. Yeah, I know. But that doesn't change the fact what the Word of God says. That Jesus is the Word. Have we brought Jesus into our life this week? Have we opened up the Bible? Oh yeah, last week was easy. Right? Revival on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then those of us that got to go to the Bible conference, Thursday, Friday. Those that got to go to the youth advance, Friday, Saturday. I think Dylan's the only one that got to enjoy every one of those. And so as we look at that and think of that, are we allowing ourselves? Boy, it was great. How many have we heard? Doug's opening this morning, other people commenting, boy, wasn't it a great week? Why do you think that was? I think being in God's Word had something to do with it. Together, individually, however it may go, we need to be students of the Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs for gratitude in your hearts to God. As you teach, as you admonish, as you encourage, as we sing songs of praise, we ought to be having the Word of God just be churning in there, right? Those of us that maybe watch the baseball games this time of the year and we talk about, did you see this? Did you see that? Well, it's something that we've been involved in and we're excited. How about the revival? Did we hear that? Did you get to share in that? Wasn't it great when Josh said, Olivia's going to be baptized tonight? Woo! Right? When Carly's like, I want to be immersed. When Mackenzie, right, said, let's do this. That's exciting stuff. But being in the Word helps us to look for those opportunities in those moments. Then fifthly, as we do all of this stuff, we see that I must decrease and the Lord must increase. In my Bible study, I must put time away from my life so that I can pull His life into mine. And the same thing goes for prayer. Live a life of prayer. Is there great value in prayer? Amen? Is there great value in prayer? Rico, I believe you're back here this morning because there's great value in prayer. Been a whole lot of people praying for you over the last year. And we're glad you're here. And the Lord's glad you're here. And I mean that, 100%. But you want to see the greatness of God? We can get that from His Word. There are some magnificent stories in God's Word. But you want to see the greatness of God? Pray. Because then that's where we see things, oh my goodness. Let me tell you what the Lord has done in my life. Did you hear what the Lord did in this family over here? Did you hear what the Lord did for this child? And what we have to learn in our prayer life is to become submissive just as Jesus did. John the Baptist, all of, we've been looking at, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that He may increase, so that who may increase? Jesus. Only one person ever on the face of the earth that didn't say that. Jesus said, I must decrease so that the Father will increase. And then He says, get ready, because when I leave, another comforter's coming. How do we get that in prayer? Want God to work in your life? Want Him to do amazing things? Then increase our prayer life. Jesus said, even as He's hanging on the cross. George touched earlier in this morning during the communion meditation in Luke 22. And again, the songs going together, messages like that being shared, that's not a coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit working. That Jesus, while He's on the cross, while He's getting ready to go to the cross, as He's in the garden saying, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The only way we can pray that prayer is if we are saying, decrease me and increase Jesus. Decrease me, as Jesus said, and increase the Father. Live a life of prayer, decrease ourselves, and increase Jesus. Do we understand who Christ is? Right? Do we show others how we've been forgiven? Can we show others how we've been loved? Can we be students of the Word? Can we live a life of prayer? If we have the attitude within us, I must decrease so that He may increase. We're starting to understand who Jesus is. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scriptures that starts with that very thought, that I need to believe in Jesus, that I need to believe that he is the Son of God, that I need to believe that I am lost without him, that I need to believe that I will not make it to an eternal glory without him. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Are you willing to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? Isn't that a wonderful thing about baptism when we see those of all ages? I think the oldest person I've ever immersed was like 85 years old, and the youngest one like 8 or 9. That no matter how old they were and how much life they have lived or have not lived, they all needed to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins so that they could arise to walk in that new life that we only have through Jesus. And then now is to be faithful. Oh boy, we're going to mess up, but we have a God that's full of grace. We serve a God that's full of mercy. So much so that his Son manifested that to a world that needed it so desperately. And maybe you're here this morning. I know there are those sitting here that have not been obedient to Jesus Christ, and we say, let today be your day of salvation. Will you come as we sing our song of invitation this morning?